First order of things, I want to thank Pastor Jack. I think he's been doing a great job.
Amen.
And all the others that speak here on Wednesday night, both boys and girls. See, somebody asked me, well, who do you like better? I don't measure those people like this. I measure them like that. And I just made the sign of the cross for you. Amen? So I'm grateful for those people. And you know what? I always like to hire in-house. You know what I mean? Bring people up in-house. We got a lot of men and women that come up here and do a great job. So we're thankful for that. Cracks in your mirror. Do you have any? Or are you going to use the mirror as your soul man? Remember, you're a spirit being. You have a soul, the mind, the will, the emotions, the intellect, and you live in a physical body. And the weight is coming off. Amen.
Amen.
I'm saying that for me. Amen. So we're the mirror church that has some cracks in it. And let's look over now to 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to start off slowly, then it'll get intent. 1 God. Amen. I'm getting there, church, honest. Thank you, Nick. Keep Nick in prayer. He'll be cutting trees tomorrow. You're not going to let him. Oh, you're going like this. You have a doctor's appointment? We'll get someone to take you. Yeah, well, you call Richie up then, okay, Pam? First Thessalonians. These are thin pages, too. I'm not trying to do this, church, honest. You all there, huh? I just started preschool, so I'll get there. Oh, thank you. Chapter 5, verse 23. Now, I could have quoted this, and I should have, could have. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be prepared blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be preserved blameless. Now look to Romans chapter 2. I think sometimes people been preached under condemnation for a simple mistake they may have made. And first of all, if you did sin, all you have to do is go to the Father and confess it. And Jesus' blood forgives you of your sin. I know it's hard for some of us, but it's not hard if you know your covenant and know your God.
Amen.
So now we're looking at Romans chapter 12, right?
You said chapter 2.
I lost my head.
That's okay.
It's Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Forgive me. See, I'm just checking to see if you guys are paying attention. I keep you on your toes, and then he tramps on your toes. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, with that in mind, you may want to write this note down. Wholeness is the greatest state of being this life offers, and we can all begin to pursue it.
Amen.
Pursuing wholeness. We pursue it a little by little. That's what Deuteronomy says. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 22 talks about the Israelites, and it says, the Lord thy God will put out those nations, even though they were disobedient, before thee. And he says he'll do this a little by little. Okay? He will change us from glory to glory, and we will continue to look into his word according to 2 Corinthians 3:18. Once we receive God's love and begin to love and accept ourselves, it greatly improves our relationship with him. But you have to draw on his love for you. And just because you make a mistake doesn't mean God forgets about you. He doesn't. He loves you. It's probably a love we may not understand in our finite minds, you know. Let me give you a nugget here just to help you out. Prioritize your inner life over your outer life. In other words, we spend so much time on this outward man, dressing him up or her up, and we neglect the man on the inside. Prioritize your inner life over your outer life. Cosmetic surgery in America has become a $13 billion industry. You know all those models, they're putting makeup on themselves? Let me give you a hint about them. They're going to get old someday. Yeah, they are, Professor. There are two aspects to every human being, the ideal and the real. The ideal you is who you desire to be, who you strive to be, and sometimes who you pretend to be. It's the version you want others to see. It's the part of you that strives for everyone to be like you. That's the ideal you. Look over now to Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to read out of the Amplified for that, okay? Ephesians chapter 3. I got the old one here because the new one, wow, those pages are so thin. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 17. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely in love, that you may have the power to be strong, to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of God's love. What is the breadth and length and height and the depth of it? That's Ephesians 3, 17 and 18 in the Amplified Bible. Now, look over quickly to the King James Version. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2. One through ten. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we are. We all had our conversation or manner of life in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even unto others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us according to his grace, are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, of his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship. Anybody have a poem beside that word in the Greek? Did anybody write a poem? Like you wrote a poem? Do you have that, Dan?
I have it in my old Bible.
Okay, you remember. Good. God bless you. That has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his glory, his kingdom toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works means you can't earn it, church. Just receive it. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And what you ought to do on a daily basis, since you can't earn this precious gift, is thank God for it. Therefore, remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. I was just thinking about that, not having any hope. Someone says, don't get your hopes up. What's that do to you, church? I didn't get that fat. That's when I breathe, then I'm trying to hold my breath and preach, but when I breathe, it busts out over. So, okay, thank you, Dean. Jack's probably back there laughing because all he eats is lettuce. I got to watch him eat lettuce and my wife, because the absence of Bell Bowie, feeds squirrels now. That's her new hobby. The trouble is, not all the birds go south. they get there and kick the squirrels out of the way, the birds, or wing them out and eat the food. Hallelujah. Okay. If we don't get along with ourselves, we probably won't get along with others. So make an effort to get along with yourself. When we reject ourselves, we probably sense that we're being rejected by others. It's all in your head. Remember, the ideal you is the version you want others to see. The real you is much different. It's the you that lives beneath the surface. It's the most honest version of yourself. The real you is rarely known to others and is often little known even to you. Isn't that sad? It's the place where your flaws live. Both known flaws and the ones that hide in your blind spots. It's the version of you that has been shaped by many factors. This is the part of you that determines how you see and respond to circumstances. Look quickly at Jeremiah chapter 1. Thanks, Dan. Because I'm up here preaching, and I feel like it stinks. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee.
Yes, sir.
Jeremiah 1:5. Before thou camest forth out of thy womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet into the nations. Keep fighting about abortion, Hollywood. You never get it right. He knew you then when you were in your mother's womb. Amazing, isn't that? God never intended us to feel badly about ourselves. So many people do, but God didn't intend that. He wants to know ourselves as well and yet accept ourselves. Nobody knows us as well as God does. Yet, even though he knows us and everything about us, including all of our flaws, he still loves us. So quit beating yourselves up. He still loves you. Quit cursing God. Curse the devil. He's the one who makes that stuff up about you. He lies. Quit hanging around with him, in fact. Stay out of his pool hall.
Yes, sir.
I said his. Yet, even though he knows us and everything about us, including all of our flaws, he still loves us. He doesn't approve of our wrong behavior, but he's committed to us as his children. Isn't that great? Look over to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That's God's goal. Philippians chapter 2, verses 13 and 15. Philippians chapter 2. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Down to verse 15. Let's read 14, I'm sorry. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. I was trying to skip that. How many murmur and complain? Okay, I just raised my hand up. There's a hand there. I see that hand. For those that are honest, and Timmy will give you $100, how many of you, they raise their hand for sure, don't they? Put it back in the ground. that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in this world. Let that light shine. God bless you. Look over to Romans 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein you stand. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God, and not only so, but we glory in the tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to you. Hope. All those are important, church. Love, patience, hope. We need all those. Yeah. Thank God for them. What are we doing with the love of God, which has been freely given to us? What are you doing with that love? Are we rejecting it because we don't think we are valuable enough to receive it? Uh-oh. Jesus made you valuable after you received it. You're worth a lot more than you think you are.
Amen.
Amen. That's what God did for you. If you don't accept God's love for you, how will we even achieve wholeness?
Right.
Wholeness. God is not like other people who have rejected and caused us hurt. He doesn't do that.
Yeah,
1 Peter 3. First Peter 3. First Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 11. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Mm-hmm. I'll read that out of the Amplified now. Oh, boy, yeah. Is it different. Mm-hmm. Not dead. Verse 11, let him turn away from wickedness and shun it. Let him do right. Let him search for peace, harmony, undisturbedness, from fears, agitating passions, and moral conflicts. Moral conflicts. Think about that. And seek it eagerly. Do not merely desire peaceful relationships with God. That's all you got out of the King James, this part B. Do not merely desire peaceful relationships with God, with your fellow men, and with yourself. Pursue and go after them. Okay, what kind of relationship do you have with God, with yourself, and ultimately with your fellow man? Remember, you are only one person. You can never run or get away from yourself. Look over to Romans chapter 8. I need a rest. I'm going on vacation. That's fine, but just remember, you're taking your head with you. Romans 8. That's why we got to bathe in the Word. Romans 8, verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate you nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. People can't trust unless they believe they are loved. To grow up in God and be changed, we must trust Him. Get a tight grip on God's love for you. Some of you know how agonizing it is to work with someone day after day that we don't get along well with. At least you don't have to go home with them. And I thought about that. It's really not true in this case. Pastor Jack has to go home with his wife and daughter. Teresa has to go home with her husband and daughter. Then Leanne has to go home with both parents. Good thing they get along. Isn't that something? All right, look quickly back. We're almost ready to close. I know you're looking bored there. I see people yawning. I can count your cavities. How much time, senor? Well, but they're packing. It says 1 minute. Oh, 10. You crossed up a little bit, huh? First Samuel, yeah. Should have just brought my old black Bibles. They're easy to find. First Samuel 15, we'll start with verse 11. It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he's turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandment. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. The New King James Version says, I greatly regret Saul for making Saul king. He doesn't have at least one thing in the past they wish they could change. This is a common human experience. And if it has happened to you, it hasn't happened to you yet, just keep living and you'll see what I mean. No one is perfect, which means we are guaranteed to make mistakes in this life. Some of those mistakes are of minimal consequences, and some of greater consequences. Last verse is 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. Seven, verse 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. The New King James says, for godly sorrow worketh or produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. The word I wanted you to see there was regrets. Some people are living with regrets they should have let go a long time ago. Sometimes it's difficult, church, but you got to realize the preciousness and the integrity and the power of the blood. Let's stand.